one of the first steps in the decay of a church. I'm going to teach about that tonight. Open your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 6. I'm going to read two verses tonight and talk about the ramifications of those verses for our entire discussion. I'm teaching on the church, and I am going to get in more Bible later on, but I got off on this, I got on the subject of the church in history and the church philosophically, and I feel like tonight I'm going to continue what I taught last week, and then I may go next week, I don't know, but I won't go beyond next week on this particular philosophical outlook of the church. What I taught last week and week before last and what I'm going to teach tonight ought to be taught to every church in America, and every layperson ought to know this. Now, I'm not being spectacular as teaching on the Holy Spirit or prayer, but churches don't have to decay, and churches don't have to go down. I'm going to tell you the reason, one reason that churches decay. Something happens between pastors. The people have, as they choose another pastor, the people have not been instructed. They don't know what to look for, and the philosophy of the church, the people don't know. And I hope that, by the way, I have no premonition that I'm going to die tonight, but one of these days I'm going to go to heaven, and I'm not getting you ready for that, and I don't know what I want. I can't say it. But I have no premonition or anything, but I just feel like that Baptist people have neglected the subject of the church. We have been infiltrated. We have yoked up with every organization under the sun and have diluted the church. Tonight I'm going to talk on the subject, the autonomy of the church. The autonomy of the church. What that means is, the church is supposed to run by itself. The church is supposed to run by itself. Automobile means a car, self-running instrument or a piece of machinery. The autonomous church means that the church is supposed to be self-running. Revelation 2, verse number 6. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Verse 15. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. I taught you before that the word Nicolaitans is a word that comes from Nicol, which means to conquer, and laity. And you know what that means, opposite to clergy. And what it means is an outside force that takes over a part of the control of a New Testament church. I want to say this. When a church ceases to be autonomous, it ceases to have the right to call itself a New Testament church. It can still call itself a church because the church is, and the word church means assembly. And so the church, Catholic Church across the street can call itself a church, but it isn't a New Testament church. It's an assembly, but not the one that Jesus started. So I want you to follow me carefully. I'm going to say some things tonight you've never heard in your life before, and I really feel it'll help this church. I think it'll help you young preachers as you go out. I think it'll help you lay people to understand something about why we do what we do here at First Baptist Church. Father, bless our study tonight. I really want to help our people. My soul, we're not using good sense in America. Our churches are not using good judgment, and I pray you'd help us tonight as we think of this subject, the autonomy of the local church. Bless us, please. Amen. Now, Father, give us attentiveness to what I believe is vital in our churches, and give us willingness to follow, to reason, to logic, and help me as I try to teach. Amen. First thing I want to say is each church is a self-operating entity. Each church is supposed to be totally self-operating. It is no business of the Hessville Baptist Church what the First Baptist Church does. It is no business of the First Baptist Church what the Hessville Baptist Church does. Every church is supposed to be a self-operating entity. There is no mention anywhere in all the Bible about a denomination. Denominations are man-made. Churches are God-made. When a church enters into the place to where, now follow this carefully, if a church enters to the place to where she yields a part of her authority to any external source, she ceases to be a New Testament church. A New Testament church is self-operating. It is autonomous. So, that's the first thing. Each church is a self-operating entity. I think that denominations have done more to destroy the work of God than taverns have. Think that one through for a while. Denominations have done more to destroy the work of God than taverns have, than bootleggers have. It's tragic how denominations destroy churches. And I'll show you why if you'll follow me very carefully. The second thing I want to say, not only should each church a self-operating entity, but each church should stay that way. Now, churches become destroyed because they lose their autonomy. They like to say, Southern Baptists like to say, for example, we have 33,000 independent churches. That's the silliest thing I've heard of in my life. And why did they vote me out? You know why? Because I wouldn't support their colleges. And it wouldn't support their cooperative program. I'll explain that to you in a few minutes. So what am I saying? I'm saying they voted us out for being an independent Baptist church. So every church should stay that way. Number three, and don't get your hopes up, all these numbers will not pass this swiftly. That is the only way we can claim perpetuity. I misspelled it. I got perpetuity here. And rather than be wrong, we'll change the meaning of the word. The only way we can claim perpetuity or perpetuity. What it means is this: when a church cannot claim the promise of Matthew 16:16-18, unless it is a self-operating entity, and consequently, if a church is follow this. See, when a church ties itself to the denomination, it ties itself to something that's dying. So life joins up with death. So the denomination kills life. And when you have a denomination, that denomination destroys the life of the church because life plus death equals death. So the church is hooked on to something that's dying. God never said, upon this rock I'll build my denomination, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God didn't say, upon this rock I'll build my fellowship, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. That's the local body of believers, the ecclesia, the called out assembly, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I said, number one, each church is a self-operating entity. I said, number two, each church should stay that way. And I said, number three, this is the only way we can claim divine perpetuity. Now then, number four, when we unite, we lose that claim. Look, when churches unite, then the organization is bigger than a church. So it ceases to be a church. You follow me? It becomes churches, and they are united, and they cannot claim divine perpetuity. Upon this rock, I'll build my called-out assembly. Then step on this rock, I'll build my organization. Then step on this rock, I'll build my denomination. I'll build my called-out assembly. Number five, and this is not a good statement. I'm going to give you an illustration here. When I was in the Southern Baptist Convention, here's what I heard over and over and over again. Let's don't split. And Southwide Baptist Fellowship, they're saying right now, whatever we do, let's don't split. And then in the Baptist Bible Fellowship, let's don't split. I'd like to change that. I say, let's don't unite. Let's don't unite. You say, what are you, an isolationist? No, I'm not. I'll explain that in a minute. You keep your mouth shut a while and quit interrupting while I'm talking. I'm not an isolationist. I'll show you in a few minutes. But I'm saying you never have to split. You see, you can't come back where you ain't been. And if you don't unite, you don't split. The truth is, every church is supposed to be its own split. It's supposed to operate itself. It's supposed to run its business. It's supposed to take care of its own operation and everything. Now, let me say this. If we don't unite, we won't have to split. We are a split as a church, and we should stay split. Now, number six is going to be a little longer. Union brings death. For when something that has been promised life unites itself with something that is not been promised life, then you attach yourself to death and you die. Let me illustrate what I mean. I have been warning people across America for years about the Awana program. Nobody believes me. So the best friends I have the Awana program. Now, what is the Awana program? It's a program for children that churches, it's a non-denominational. It's not Baptist, so it's not going to be right on some things. But that doesn't matter. That's not the philosophy is the same if it were Baptist. But I've been warning folks. Not because I thought the Awana program was any worse than anything else, but every organization like that's going to die one of these days. Now, you get to attach the organization, and you die with it. I've told preachers across the country. I was talking to a pastor. He took over a church. They had an Awana program. And, again, I said, that's a little children's program. They provide the literature. In fact, the whole thing is set up by them, and they tell you how to operate your children's program. No, every youth program ought to be local church-centered and operated. Every children's program ought to be local church-centered and operated. Ed Lapina ought to operate the youth program of First Baptist Church of Hammond. And nobody should be telling him how to operate it outside the church. By the way, I'm inside the church. Nobody believed me. I've warned this pastor I mentioned a while ago. He went to a church. He tried to stop the Awana program, and they said, if you stop the Awana program, we'll vote you out and keep the Awana. So what are they? They're more loyal to an outside organization than they are to their own pastor. Now then, the Awana program has is starting to use the New King James Bible. I've been warning folks for years about it. Now, what is the issue? I did not predict that begin to use the New King James Bible. I just predicted that a local church, should not have an outside influence as powerful as the Awana program inside its church, because you get loyalties outside your church. Now, all over this nation is what's going to happen. By the way, the New King James Bible has changed the text of the true King James Bible. It's not the King James Bible at all. And it was translated by a bunch of new evangelicals. I know who they are. I know them. In fact, I was at one of the meetings back at one time, and it was done by the Nelson Publishers. And they asked me to be on the overview committee to be a part of that translation of that Bible, and I rejected it. But I'm saying that they're using the New King James Bible. Now, the New King James Bible is not the Word of God, and does not contain the words of God. Now, but I did not know that's what the decay would be. That usually is what the decay is first, the Bible, because the devil's after the Bible. But now then, what's going to happen? Every church that has an Awana program is going to have one of three things happen. Either they're going to have a strong enough pastor whom the people will follow, who will put it out, and that's going to be very, very much in the minority. Or they're going to have trouble in the church, and probably have a split, or the pastor's going to have to do what many of pastors are already doing. He's got to compromise and say, I'll stay with them anyway. Now, why is that? Because the church was not autonomous. The church did not operate itself. The church was not auto, self-operating. It's some organization outside By the way, to whom is not given the promise of the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So when the living organization joins up with the dying organization, then pretty soon death enters into the living organization also. Let me illustrate again. Take the Gideons. For years, I had a high regard for the Gideons, but I was worried about them because it's not hooked up to the local church. I've spoken at the National Gideon Convention in Canada. I've spoken at numbers of the Gideon Conventions in the United States. And the day has come, the day came when I could no longer support the Gideons. You know why? I was staying in a motel room in a distant state, picked up the Bible, and there was a living Bible. Not the King James Bible. And they're putting out different kinds of Bible. Well, there's only one real Bible, you see. They're putting out different kind of Bible. So what happens? In some churches, for example, the other day, they call Gideon's, and they're having a little meeting in this area, and they come to the churches, and a Gideon speaks in the church. Well, I can't do that. I can't have a man stand up here. It's going to raise money and ask you to give money to put false Bibles in motel rooms and schools across America. I can't do that. But you see, that's what happens to us. While an organization is good, we join up with it. But we, in so doing, we build the machinery for self-destruction. And the philosophy is not, don't join up with a bad organization. The philosophy is that the local church should operate itself. All right, let me give you an illustration. The American Bible Society. American Bible Society used to print nothing but King James Bibles. Now, why would the American Bible Society start printing the Bibles? One word, M-O-N-E-Y. The same reason that Zondervan and other publishers start publishing stuff they shouldn't publish. When you go to try to make money, instead of getting out the truth, most of the publishers started with a burden to get out the truth. And they end up with a burden to get in the money. And because of that, they deteriorate. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that no local church should give itself to any organization outside of itself to run any part of that local church. Now, that means me. I should not. People oftentimes ask, Brother Howes, won't you print some literature and let the churches that come to pastor school use your Sunday school literature? Because some people would get more loyal to me than the local pastor. And if a pastor decided he didn't want to use my literature, then the people would follow me instead of him. And the church is no longer autonomous, but I am running churches somewhere else. That's one reason why there's not one single thing we have here at First Baptist Church of Hammond that subscribes people to be a part of it. Somebody wants to start a foster club, they start a foster club. But they want to call it the Beauty Queen's Club. It's a lady of soul winning, and of course ours would be called that easily. But some churches call it the Old Hags Club. Call it whatever you want to call it. But we don't tell them what to do. We don't send a representative to keep the club up and so forth. It's like a cafeteria. If you want to start a foster club, start one and do it like you want to do it. Build your own. Call it anything you want to call it. Call Ladies Soul Winning Club. And all across America, there are Ladies Soul Winning Clubs that the idea of the foster club gave them the idea to start a soul winning club, but they started their own soul winning club, perpetuate their own soul winning club with the idea they got from the foster club, the concept. All right, I said again, union brings death. As the other dies, you die. Now, that means that when churches go together, that means that one church dies, it affects all the churches. Let me say this. Our problem is, now follow me carefully. Our problem is, when we divide, we haven't got enough sense to stay divided. The split hasn't got enough sense to stay a split. So churches say, we'll not stay in this denomination, we'll divide, and then we turn right around and unite ourselves. Now, what should be the fellowship between churches? First place, no denomination. Second place, no outside interference whatsoever. Tell you what it should be. I was down in this little place called Knoxville, North Carolina. pastor down there. God bless him. Bless his heart. He's a West Virginia hillbilly. And he went through school, but it took him about 2 days. He was a prize fighter. And he's so mad right now. That guy loves me. Good night. He told me, he said, I want to fight. He said, if you find anybody you won't whip, you let me know. And I gave him a long list. But just as simple as can be, and yet just as sweet as can be. Went down a little town called Moxville. In fact, he's outside of Moxville. You get outside of Moxville, you're outside everywhere. I told him Monday night, I said, I didn't know where Moxville was. Checked the map, wasn't on the map. Asked God where it was. He said he didn't know. But there he is. Took over that church down there. The guy out in the country. West Virginia Hilton. Never been to college at all. What happened? He came to pastor school. Had his life transformed. Learned how to do it. Didn't go to college. Learned how not to do it. Learned how to do it. He's running 500-600 people in Sunday school down there. I mean, he's got something going down there. Now, okay, what did he do? He had a meeting. I spoke. He sent out letters to the churches. He said, Brother Howes is going to be here. If you'd like to come to here and bring your people. Some of the fellows down there said, okay, we'll do that. We'll announce it on radio broadcast. And they announced it. Now, it was one church's meeting. All the churches in the area didn't get together. One church had the meeting, and all the churches that wanted to came to enjoy that one church's meeting. That's God's plan. I'll get to that a little later. I've been getting stuff a little later for weeks now. But see, our problem is, so what happened? We had the meeting. It was his meeting. He didn't ask anybody to do anything. He said, if you want to come, you come. And buses came from all over the area, busloads of people on their own, and nobody got blacklisted if they didn't come, and nobody got voted out if they didn't cooperate, and nobody got a letter, a reprimand, if they didn't show up. It was all one church having a meeting and other churches coming in to that meeting with that church, and that's God's plan. I'm not saying we shouldn't cooperate. I'm saying we should not unite. The last entity is the church. There's nothing above the church. That's why they say, well, you have a church and you have a denomination. Not in the Bible, you know. When you get to the church, you've gone to the top. When you get to the pastor, you've gone to the top office in the New Testament. Well, how about district superintendent? On the district superintendent. No Bible job. I'll get to that then. Later on, next month sometime, I'll get to that. But I'm saying that our problem is when we divide, we haven't got enough sense to stay divided. When we split, we haven't got enough sense to stay split. We want to start something else. And that something else is a union of a uniting of a fellowship of churches. And when the minute you start it, then death sets in because human organizations start dying. But bless God, the church can always stand. And that's why churches die, because they unite. So, we unite, and here's what we do. We unite not knowing we're uniting. I'm going to give you several things tonight, how churches unite and don't know they're uniting. Number one, ministerial groups. I'm going to shock you. I'm talking about fundamental ministerial groups. Not talking about liberal ministerial association. I'm talking about fundamental ministerial groups. Okay, and follow you. Let me follow you. Let me lead you. I is your leader. And let me tell you. There's a certain city in this nation. You want to take that down? There's a certain city in this nation. And that city has a ministerial group. No. Look, okay, I want your minds now, not your notebooks. Put your pencil and pens up. That they organize a fundamental ministerial group. Now, that sounds okay. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with it. It's not a sin. It's just dumb. And they're all over the country. Fundamental ministerial groups. Now, what's wrong with them? What? Here's what they do. Before you know it, they elect the chairman. Now, what's that chairman? He is over the ministerial group. So you got a title above the title of pastor. So what you have is a group of men, and you let one of those folks... Okay, I'm going to go back to what I mentioned. There's a certain group in America. I preach for them every year. A group of preachers have formed a ministerial group in their own little area, and every year I preach for them. But since we've had our battle, one of those fellows is not for me anymore. Now, I contend that he has a right not to be for me. He's dumb, and an idiot, and a fool, and stupid. But anyway, he has a right. Now, what happened? My friends are blacklisting him. Now, though I think he's wrong in his position, they've taken away his freedom. And they've done the same thing to him the Southern Baptist Convention does to their churches. You see, it is not, I have in my book on grace and truth, it is not freedom or slavery we're against, it's our being enslaved we're against. We don't mind being the boss. I make a statement in that book. I say, we don't like to be in Egypt under Pharaoh. We want to go out in the wilderness and reorganize and become a Pharaoh ourselves. Now, I'm saying, what is the right way to do it? Now, hold it. There's nothing sinful about a fundamental ministerial group. In itself, it's not bad. But what it does, it creates the machinery for decay down the line. Now, what's God's plan? I'll tell you God's plan. Yesterday at noon, yesterday morning, in the morning service, the pastor there said, Brethren, we're going to have lunch. All the preachers are going to have lunch together down at the Western Steer. And he said, if you'd like to come, have lunch with Brother Hiles. We'll have a little meeting there together. And he said, may I have some questions and answers? And if you'd like to come. Now, they came, and they had lunch together, and we had a perfectly good time. And nobody was in charge except the local pastor. It was his meeting. See? So now the church down the road has Dr. Lee Robertson next month. They'll put out notices and say, come and share our meeting. And that pastor will say, maybe, let's have a luncheon with Dr. Robertson. So that pastor then will have a luncheon with Dr. Robertson, and he's in charge. Who's he? The pastor, not the head of the ministerial group. God's plan is voluntary cooperation and not unified coercion. And any time that you unite, the local church unites, it sacrifices a part of its life and affiliates itself with something that is going to die, and when it dies, it may take the church with it. This is going to surprise you, too. Let's take the matter of union meetings. Regular union meetings. I mentioned a while ago, this group has this ministerial group I'm talking about has had me every year for several years. And it's a regular union meeting. I'm talking about liberals now, I'm talking about fundamentalists, cooperate. But I was down there last year preaching, up there or out there, I won't tell you where it is, but it was down there. And I was preaching down there. And that's how far down there it was. It was down there. And I was preaching down there. And so I said, where is so-and-so? And a preacher said to me, he didn't cooperate with us anymore. And I said, is that right? Oh, he's a loner. Now, what are they doing? Same thing Southern Baptist did to me. Criticizing the guy because he didn't choose to cooperate. He has a perfect right not to cooperate. Now, he was dumb because he didn't cooperate, but he had a perfect right. Don't you see what I'm saying? I'm saying this is what causes churches to die. We ought to work with each other, but we ought to work in a... Okay,
When a church has a meeting, when a church has, like our pastor school. Our pastor school's a cafeteria. You just go by and pick what you want and leave the rest. But preachers come. It's our own church meeting. And nobody's blacklisted if they don't come. And nobody's is looked down upon if they don't come. It is a church meeting. We are supposed to cooperate with each other when a local church has an endeavor, if we so choose, but it is always unwise to build a canopy over all of us so that one shot can kill all of us instead of taking 10 shots to kill 10 of us. Let's take another one. Joint schools. Please put your pens up. Joint schools. I want your mind. I want you to reason. I'm not trying to give you a test. I want you to reason with me. Joint schools. All across America, there are schools started by groups of churches, which is wrong. Churches, schools ought to be started by a church. Now, why? If you have 10 churches start a school, the standards in that school will be just as strong as the weakest of the 10. That's what's going to happen. And pretty soon, the churches get together, and then one of these days, the weak church is going to have its pastor elected as president of the school board. And you have, instead of one church saying, this is the way it's going to be, if you like our school, you come to our school. If you don't like it, go somewhere else. And I'll tell you what, these non-denominational cooperative schools, they don't last one-tenth as long as far as their usefulness to fundamentalism is concerned as church-operated schools do. Now, how should a school be operated? A church school, and go if you want to. We have Hammond Baptist Schools. First Baptist Church owns Hammond Baptist Schools. That's our property. We have our own principals. We operate it. We have our own board. Dyer Baptist Church sends the students every year. But it's none of Dyer Baptist Church's business how Hammond Baptist Schools operate it. We set it up like we think God wants it set up, and if they like that, they can come. If they don't like that, they stay home. We have churches all over this area send their students to our schools. But you let the same, all of us get together and start our school, I'll guarantee you the standards will deteriorate as fast as you can see them going down. God's plan is the local church. That's God's plan. I do not think union revival campaigns are real healthy on a regular basis. Because before you know it, if one fellow says, I can't cooperate this year, he has a stigma on him. And if he does cooperate because he has to cooperate, he has lost his autonomy and the church is no longer a New Testament church. Because you must be autonomous to be a New Testament church. Take the matter of accreditation. Follow this carefully. All across America, states have said you've got to be accredited or we'll close your school down. I'm almost sure the state of Texas did this. And it was a mistake that'll destroy them someday, if not already. The state said, you've got to have your schools accredited. Those guys said the state will not accredit our schools. So the state came back with a suggestion, a compromise, and they said, okay, you set up an accreditation board, and you accredit your own school. Now follow me carefully. They say, we just believe you ought to have somebody to answer to. Oh, no. No. There's nobody you're supposed to answer to outside the local church. There's no divine institution above the local church. So what happened? The churches got together. They set themselves up an accrediting association. And now then, the accrediting association, that is a body. It's fundamental. And it's good now. But it is machinery that will deteriorate. And it becomes someday just like the accrediting association they could not cooperate with. So it is not being accredited by New York City or the North Central Association that's wrong. It is when any church accredits another church, it's wrong. I told you this time or two. We started Hammond City Baptist Schools. Well, those young people down there have to come to public schools, which means most of them can't read and write until they're sophomore in college. And they come to our college, honestly, can't read and write. But anyway, we decided, since there some at this level, no uniformity of educational progress, we decided to have an ACE. Now, the ACE program, each child does his own. You don't have a classroom with a teacher. You have each child does his own reading, and the teacher comes down and helps him and has his own test and goes at his own rate of speed. Now, I'm not opposed to ACE. I've spoken to their convention 11 out of the last 12 years, national convention. But I said, okay, let's have the ACE. And so we got the ACE program at City Baptist. And one day I was down at City Baptist, and I saw a fellow walking around. He had a clipboard with him. He's walking around looking, checking this, checking that. I said, man, who are you with? He said, ACE headquarters. And I said, what you doing? He said, having our regular, inspection. Inspection. I said, what's that? He said, we just check and see if you still qualify. Well, I said, I can tell you we do. He said, man, are you telling me that you're here to check us out? He said, that's right. I called Dr. Howard, my good friend, on the telephone. I said, Dr. Howard, I'm sorry, but I can no longer be with the ACE. Because nobody has the right to check out a local church outside the local church. That's God's institution. So I'm saying that any accreditation leads to death. The only difference between bad accreditation and good accreditation is how much longer you're going to live before you die. You'll live a little longer, good accreditation. I'm going to say it again. Take literature. These are all things that churches are dying and uniting and don't know they're dying and uniting. Ministerial groups, union meetings, regular union meetings, joint schools, self-accreditation, literature. I do not want to determine what's taught at the Lowell Baptist Church. I want the Lowell Baptist Church pastor to decide what's taught at Lowell Baptist Church. Not my business what Lowell Baptist Church teaches. I'll guarantee you. And I know Ms. McKinney could verify this, but I guarantee you, we could have right now literature going out from First Baptist Church of Hammond to thousands of churches. All they're begging for our little outlines. They're begging for them. Two preachers asked me this week, "Can we buy your outlines?" I said, "No, get you a Bible." The day was when you could trust Union Gospel Press. The day is gone. Now, churches that had that literature in them when they went had troubles, most of them. The day was you could trust Scripture Press, all except on the church and baptism and so forth. But the day is gone. Now, look, there are some people in this room right now who bristled when I said you can't trust Scripture Press anymore. You prove my point. See, you prove my point. What? What's wrong with Scripture Press? You prove my point. You're starting in the corner now, and it's hard to get out. But you prove my point. It's not Scripture Press's business what we teach. Nothing causes the decay of a denomination as much as its literature department. Well, you said, Brother Hiles, well, where are you supposed to get your literature? Well, that's a pretty good... Years ago when I was a Southern Baptist, we used to have study courses. And study course would have meet 5 nights for a week and study a certain book put out by the Southern Baptist Convention, Broadman Press. And then you'd get a diploma if you made it, and then they had little places for seals all the way around. Every time you took another one, you got a seal. So I decided to teach them. And I was Southern Baptist those days. And I decided to teach a study course, and I decided to just teach it how to teach Sunday school from the Bible. So when I got through, I sent in to get the diplomas from my people. I got a letter from Broadman Press at Southern Baptist headquarters that said, "Dear Reverend Hiles, we're sorry, but we cannot give you a." So I said, "What book did you use? What book did you teach from in your study course?" I wrote back and said, I use the Bible. They wrote back and said, "We're sorry, we cannot grant you your diplomas because you did not use Southern Baptist literature." They said it. I believe it, but they said it. I wrote back and said, "Since when did the Bible not cease to be Southern Baptist literature?" I got the diplomas for return mail. You say, "What is the answer?" Let the preacher decide. Let the preacher write the Sunday school lessons. Or let somebody at the assistant pastor write the Sunday school lessons. Let somebody in the church write the Sunday school lessons. Let the church decide what's taught. Let the church do it. Let it be done inside the church. And if you don't, by the way, nothing wrong with having outside literature, nothing sinful about it, but you're subscribing yourself to something that when it changes will change you. When it dies, you will die with it if you don't watch out, and you have a battle on your hands. Boy, I wish every church in America could hear this. I wish every preacher in America could hear what I'm saying tonight. It would add life, does scores of years of life and fruitfulness to every church in America if we just stop and realize that the Nicolaitans doctrine is creeping in, and we say we're independent, and while we say we're independent, while we say we're autonomous, we yoke up with death and don't know we're yoking up with death. For example, fellowships. Every year at pastor school, people come by and say, "Let's start a fellowship." That's exactly what America needs, another fellowship. A fellow walked up to me last year during pastor school. He said, "Let's start a fellowship." I said, "Good." He said, "What you doing?" I said, "Shake your hand. That's a good way to start a fellowship." He didn't mean fellowship. Fellowship means getting together, enjoying each other, no strings attached. He meant let's start an organization. We don't need any of those. Let Jack Treiber in Southern California have a pastor school every year. Everybody wants to go, let him go, but it's his pastor school. I speak out there every year. Be out there next month, God willing. And it will speak. But I don't tell him how to run his pastor school. None of my business. Now, if he wants to ask my advice, I give it to him. Or if he doesn't want to ask my advice, I give it to him. But it's his pastor school. It's not a dozen churches getting together and operating the pastor school. It is God's plan where one church operates it, and any church that wants to come to cooperate can or they cannot. It's up to them. That's God's plan. And that's what keeps churches alive. For example, take missionaries. Southern Baptist Commission has what they call a cooperative program. This will shock you. You folks never been to Southern Baptist. You know what you do? You don't support missionaries in Southern Baptist churches. You send so much money into what they call the cooperative program. Most of that cooperative program goes to operate their pagan schools. But they don't tell you that. They put missions, foreign missions out there as the bait. They have what they call the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, which is for foreign missions. They don't tell you that that cooperative program operates everything under the sun in addition to a few missionaries. But now, what's God's plan? But shouldn't churches work together? If they choose to work together, but they should not choose to work regularly together. Now, what's God's plan? Simple. Young man, his wife's running to mission field. What do? They go to this New Testament church and preach, and they decide whether or not to support them. They go to this New Testament church and preach and decide whether they're not to support them. That's God's plan. That's the New Testament plan. The churches took offerings if they wanted to. They didn't want to, didn't have to. But they told me I had to support the cooperative program or I'd get my walking papers. I took my walking papers. They said, you support these schools that we have, or you can't be a Southern Baptist. I said, I don't care. I said, no way I'm going to give a dime to a school that doesn't believe the Bible is the Word of God. No way I'm going to do it. Don't you see what I'm saying? The Southern Baptist Convention wasn't started that way. The Southern Baptist Convention was started by a bunch of churches that decided to have regular fellowship meetings and regular ministerial meetings, and they got more active and more active and more active, and then they start blacklisting people, and then they got more machinery and more machinery. So finally, instead of a church running the fellowship becomes a denomination and chokes the local churches to death. That's what happens. Now, again, I say, there's nothing wrong with churches cooperating with each other. If Lowell Baptist Church has Dr. Robertson in to speak sometime, our folks go hear him. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's what you call cooperation. Now, what else? This is hard to say. It is dangerous when a group gets together to start churches, because that group wants to control the churches they start. What if a church starts a church? When they want to control it too, nothing wrong with a church that starts a church controlling the start of the church till it becomes a church. Nothing wrong with First Baptist Church of Hammond deciding to start a church somewhere until it becomes a church of its own, and they're answerable to a church but not to a group. You got the framework of death. Now, what's the danger? First danger is an organization above the church. I used to have a preacher in Texas used to say this. I'll just say it. He used to say there's as much scripture for a concubine as there is a denomination. There's as much scripture for church having taverns, nightclubs, beer joints, as there is for church, as a church belonging to a denomination. What happens is you've got the district superintendent that's above the preacher. Nobody's supposed to be above the office of pastor. That's the highest office in the Bible, is the office of pastor. What else is it? What's the danger? An organization above the church. Number two, teaching from without the church. That's deadly. Number three, an office above the pastor. They start hiring employees. Pretty soon you hire an employee. That employee, he may be called the associational missionary, district superintendent. You hire an employee. After a while, that employee goes to serve the churches, but after a while, the preachers that hired him pass off the same, and then the next generation, he hires them. And you die. Now, why do we have to get together organizationally? Because of the lack of faith? Follow me carefully. Union is always caused by deterioration of faith. Centralization of power is caused by deterioration of faith. I used to do this a lot here, and I won't do it tonight because time's gone. But the reason a bunch of farmers get together and form a co-op is because they believe in case God doesn't send rain, this is a substitute God. Now, America got along pretty well before there was a co-op. America got along pretty well before anybody ever got together much. I'll tell you who destroyed America. Franklin Delano Roosevelt. I think he was a great leader. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt caused America to become a united movement, and this co-op program, and this one, and this one, and this one. But it is something. Did the Bible say, my God shall supply all your needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus? Then why do you need a denomination? I'll tell you exactly why. You lose your faith in God to some extent. The pastor wondered, what would happen to me if I had to leave this church? Where would I go? So he joins himself a group that can help him find a place. How about asking God to help him find a place? So this matter of losing our autonomy is caused by a lack of our faith in God. But what more could we want than this? Lo, I am with you always. What more could you want than this? Where two or more gather together in my name, there will I be. What more could you want than this? On this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Don't you see what I'm saying? My heart aches tonight for what's happening in America. Do you know that there are very few churches that call themselves independent Baptists who are independent Baptists? We are in our ministerial groups, in our union meetings, in our joint schools, in our self-accreditation, in our literature, in our fellowships, in our mission programs, and even in our starting of churches. We are forming machinery to our destruction someday. An old illustration I've used many times. A man who was on the board at Moody Church in Chicago said this. He said, I was on the board at Moody Church in Chicago when Dr. Ironsides was there. When Dr. Ironsides got about the age that I am now, he was traveling a lot like I do now. He had a big board of men. This was told me by a man who was on that board. He said, Dr. Ironsides said, I'm tired. And you men, you know me. You know me well. He said, I'm going to turn over the running of this church and the leading of this church to you. I'm not talking about dictatorship. I'm talking about guidance to you. And I'm just going to preach on Sunday and preach and then travel and preach other places. And I'm going to preach on Sunday, maybe Wednesday night and so forth. I'm just going to do the preaching. And I'm going to leave the overseeing of you. And that was beautiful because these men loved him. And what he wanted, they wanted. And to please him was their big desire. But he died. And they died. And he had created at Moody Church in Chicago a machinery for the destruction of their soul winning program. I may as well face it. They don't have one now. They ought to be doing tonight what we're doing in Chicago. The logic place. But now, wait a minute. What happened? When a good pastor and some good men set up some bad machinery that will work as long as they live, but will self-destruct when they die. I don't know if I've told you this or not. About 15, 20 years ago, Moody Church didn't have a pastor. And they called me and asked if I'd be interested. And I said, what's the salary? But they called me and asked if I'd be interested. And I said, no, I wouldn't. But I said, I won't even talk to you unless the entire board resigns first. I took care of that. Because the board absolutely has choked. When Dwight Moody was down there, you reckon they voted on their soul winning program? Huh? You reckon when Dwight Moody had oratory for revival, you reckon he checked with Moody Institute he was okay? No. 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 God's plan is for churches to voluntarily cooperate with each other in any endeavor. But each church runs its own program. And the churches that are, the other churches can decide whether or not to cooperate. That's one reason why the best plan to start a college is for a local fundamental church to start a college. If you don't like our college, bye-bye. But we're not interested in your opinion of it. If you are not, That's our church's college. First Baptist Church of Hammond is as important to the education of the students out there as that college is. This building is as important as that chapel is. That's what's happening all across America. And that's why every generation has to die itself. Because every generation somehow doesn't realize it is not the machinery they ought to leave. It is the fellow who operates the machine that they ought to leave. So what do? They leave the fellow who operates the machine, keep the machine, get in and drive it themselves, and self-destruct in the next generation. He said, well, how's that? Don't you believe in cooperation? Volunteer cooperation. And that's the best cooperation in the world. 50 preachers Monday night. We're out in the country under a tent. Buses all over the place. They chose to do so. That's God's plan. And that kind of plan will keep a church like this, like it is now, as long as she lives.